Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening. We are still up Simon Reish Tes Zayin. We're up to see base. We're actually halfway through see base. Prior to start, before starting the share, I want to just point out something which is on this page, Bialocha. It's not relevant to Hilchas Brochas per se, but it's an important little few words in the Bialocha over here. The Bialocha, without going into the context of the Bialocha and without even going into the meaning of the Bialocha, Bialocha quotes, if you look in 1, 2, 3, 4 lines from the bottom, the Bialocha quotes, Uve'emes betoisves Rabbein Yehuda al brochus. He quotes a Tosfos Rabbein Yehuda on Brochus. I'm not even going to quote what it's about because that's not relevant to what I want to say. Because what I want to just point out very briefly is the brackets of here. It says Shenitfas Ze Mikov, which has recently been published. So all I want to quote of here is that the Bialocha, Chofetz Chaim quotes a Rabbeinu Yehuda on Masechet Brochus, which the Bialocha says has been recently printed and recently published. Now, why is this important or not important? I'll share with you why this is a very important Bialocha. And this I heard many years ago. I was once Dayan Hagon Reb Shmuel Simons. Long before he was a Dayan, he drove me once from one place to another place. I was still a Bocha. And then he pointed out to me this Bialocha, and he told me the following. He said, there's a famous Chazanish. Chazanish says, what's the Alocha with regards to Chazanish says that he's not impressed in the Latin, the Igas Chazanish. Chazanish says, if there is Achronim, or no, not Achronim, if there's Rishonim, which are found, which have never been printed earlier, never been published earlier, you know, like sometimes they find scripts and early manuscripts of Rishonim. So sometimes it's very important. A lot of Rishonim have been published over the last 20, 30 years. A lot of them. Mamash, a lot of Rishonim. I mean, if you're learning in Yeshiva Masechtos, there's loads. Chazanish says he's not impressed. He says that you can look at them, it's okay, but never pass can according to newly published Rishonim. What Chazanish says in the letter? Why? Any guess why? Why should you never paskin, Chazanish says, according to recently found manuscripts of Rishonim? Even if they're identified clearly as, there's no doubt about the oath. Thank you very much. I'm not going to try to repeat that. Yeah, even if it's clear that there are those Rishonim, and I was once in Bodleian Library. Where is Bodleian Library? You know, many, when I was Mamash, somebody once took me to the library, and then the person over there, he was a Goy Gomo. And then he showed me, on the side, all, I don't know why I had this chosuti. Pardon? Proper. He was a proper Goy. Okay, somebody took me around. I was a Bocha, and I had been as my name, so somebody said, have a look. It was a Bocha, this is going back, Mamash, 20 years ago. And then he showed me, it was very interesting actually. He showed me like a whole thing. He said, you know, all those, there's loads, unbelievable. So he showed me, absolutely showed me all those manuscripts. They've never been published. It may be interesting for you. His goy was in charge of the Judaica, early manuscript or something, a goy. And then interesting, he looked, there was a set of translation. And he said, some of the words are not translated accurately. unbelievable. So he was showing me like a whole row of like early manuscripts, and he said, you know, they haven't been published. It may be interesting for Talmud researchers. It may be interesting because a lot of them haven't been published. So anyway, so the question is, the Chazanish writes any of those manuscripts which are found in it, you don't pass kana kuna. You can look at them, you can learn them. It's kvalding schutz of learning them. But as far as psak halacha is concerned, says the Halik Chazanish in the Igros, don't go for it. He says, because Chazanish says, if they were hidden away from the eyes of Klal Yisrael for centuries, must be good reason for that. must be a good reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu took it away from the mainstream learning. Baruch Hu took it away from the yeshivas, took it away from the kolim, took it away from the abonim and from dayonim. So it must be there's a reason for that, Chaznish says. Make sense? So it must be that the Baruch Hu doesn't want to be passing according to that.
Well, it's exactly the same as far as the other way around.
Very good svara. Very good svara. But I suppose it's chesimas haTalmud, chesimas haTishrei Hoira psuko. Now you're not going to It's unlikely that Chazanish says you can't now change. That's what Chazanish holds. If it's been away for so many years, you can't. So if it comes now, it's unlikely to uproot now any earlier. Chazanish. He writes it in the Igres. He writes it in his fascinating Igres.
But surely they were quoting reliable sources.
No, the Rishonim generally don't quote. Rishonim normally paskin and they don't normally quote. Normally not. Rishonim don't. So, very good. According to Chazanish, it says don't bother counting this up as an opinion. No, don't. Yes, no, you can't make. According to Chazanish, you clearly can't make a roif according to them. You can't. He said, if you see, it's very interesting. He could sometimes explain all the Rishonim. It's very interesting for the Sugya. But to Paskin, it's not a relevant opinion Lalocha. Chaznish writes in Igas. Fascinating tshuva. Now, the reason why I'm saying this is because I remember hearing from Shmuel Simons, long before he was dying, he pointed to me this Bialocha over here. And he says, the Bialocha over here quotes a... Look at this, four lines in the bottom. Emes Toysus Rabbein Yehuda, Ha'al Brochas Shenitfas Zemikoroiv. And it's not only in Shin Mem Hei as well. And in a couple of other places, the Bialocha quotes newly printed, the Meiri as well. Meiri is also one of the opinions that he quotes, which was just published then. It was newly found, Rishonim. There wasn't many Rishonim that were found in the generation of the Chofetz Chaim. There wasn't many Rishonim that were found, but there was a couple. And those few Rishonim that were printed in the times, first time print in the times of the Chofetz Chaim, the Chofetz Chaim is very happy to quote it and base his psak according to that. Another line, Shin Mem Hei actually counts them up. It's very negiah to the Rishus Rabim to Reis Shailes, and he counts them up of their an opinion, which is newly opinion, so on. And he adds up; it makes a big difference. So it sounds. That's what I heard from Reb Shmuel then. That it sounds like there's machlokes Chaznish with Chofetz Chaim. Chaznish seems to be quite happy to quote them, and he probably goes with the svar, similar to what you were saying. That if they are found now, we have to deal with them now. If they are refound now, then we have to deal with them the way they are. Very interesting. But it's very interesting because over here we find on this page a newly printed and published Rishon, which Chofetz Chaim is quite happy to quote. I just thought that's an interesting side point. Yeah, it's interesting, no? It's in Hilchos Ketoreh HaPesach, it's very interesting. Good. Okay, now, what do you think about it, Yossel? It's true, it's good. What do you think? Machlok is, yeah, you are. Which svar do you understand better?
The first one.
The Chofetz Chaim?
Yeah.
Okay, we're up to Simon Reish Tezayin in Tziv Beis. We are continuing to learn the halachas with regards to brachas. Of smells. So we are 1, 2, 3 lines. We spoke about the musak, which is something emerging potentially from an animal or emerging from either from the sweat or from the blood of an animal. We spoke about that, and now we're going to continue with the following. V'imoyo pri roi la'achila. Yes, 2 lines from the bottom of the page. Kuf chav tes. Now we're going to be talking, what's the halacha? We spoke about isve psomim, anything that has a smell that comes from grass. And we spoke about atze psomim, something which comes from a tree. And now we continue, what if it's a proper fruit, which has a very strong smell? Do you make a bracha on it or not? Esrog, have you ever smelled an esrog? It smells very strong, it smells nice. Fresh esrog smells really nice. What about other fruit which smell? Do you make a bracha on fruit if they smell nice? Do you not? Says the Shulchan Aruch, v'ima yopri, roi le'achile. If it was a fruit which is edible, mevoreich, the bracha, yes, you do make a bracha, and the bracha is hanoisein, the one who gives, re'ach toiv, to good, nice smell, ba'peirois, in fruit. However, there's a big condition here, which doesn't apply to the other brachas on smells. With regards to fruits that smell nice, there's the following condition. Fruits, you can't always make a bracha. What's the condition? V'hanamili, when do you make the bracha? K'shenot lo'e l'areach boi. When you're holding it, to smell it. You're taking it to smell it. Oi, or le'ochloi, to eat it, ve'lechboi, to smell it as well. However, avol, im not loy le'ochloi, but if you're actually holding it just purely to eat it, to consume it, to eat it, le'ochloi, to eat it, ve'loi nischav, and your intention was never le'ochboi, your intention initially was not to get benefit from the smell. Afalpi, although shumal le'ochloi, toiv, that now there's a good smell emerging from it, so the rule with regards to good smelling fruit is, if you're holding it to smell it, you make a bracha. If you're holding it to eat and to smell it, you can also make a bracha. However, if you're actually holding it to eat it, and just before you're making the bracha, you're suddenly smelling it and you say, oh, that smells geschmack. This is a nice smelling, what smells nice? Pardon?
Lemon.
Yes, lemon is nice. Yeah, it has. Yeah, you suddenly say, oh, then you don't make a bracha on it. Why? Because you were not holding it initially. You're not holding it for the smell. You're holding it to eat it.
So if you're going to smell it and eat it,
you will make a bracha.
Two brachas.
Yeah, very good. The answer is yes.
Yes. And then to eat.
Oh, good. Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely correct.
Why might you change your mind?
You probably could. It's just that if it's like, you probably could. If you're holding it and now you decide, I'm going to have a proper smell and I'm going to eat it, that will also work. It's just that if you never really intended to smell it, it's just ultimately you're smelling it. Oh, that's like a nice, and just before that, then not.
Surely every time you make a bracha, by a bracha, you have to say you change your mind.
Very nice, Ha'ora. Very nice, Ha'ora. So you're saying that you could always, it's always possible to make the bracha, because prior to making the bracha, you've changed your mind. I suppose he has to have a proper natila.
Why do you need a natila at all? Because you're allowed to make a bracha on things you're not.
So I think the Mishnah is going to answer your question partially, in Sifkot Yud Aleph. Okay, let's just get there. I think it's going to answer your question. Sifkotan. Seif cotton test. Anoy saying, Ein be'eli rabbi shikosav, the Eli Rabbi writes, to mishas v'poiski mashma, it appears from shas and earlier authorities, mashma it appears, shetzorich loyma, that you need to say, asher nosal b'loshen ova. You do not say the boch anoy sin reach toiv ha'peres, but asher nosal reach toiv ha'peres. I wonder what the Mishnah Berurah other article paskin. What's the normal nusach? Asher nosal, ho anoy sin reach toiv. Anybody got an art school available? Or any siddur? How does your siddur? Your siddur has got interesting psukim. Oh, right. Thank you very much. Let's see. Yeah, let's see. So he says, so he says, Asher Nosan? Hanoi Sein?
Yeah, it's not right, it's on my phone, but I mean, it's still Noisein.
Hanoi Sein. Right, interesting. Arts call is really unbeatable when it comes to this. Unbeatable. So they put over here, Bochat Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Hanoi Sein Reachtov Apeirois. But in the bottom he says that, see in the Mishnah Berurah of Cotton Test, that the correct Nusach is Asher Nosan. So it's really unbelievable. They've really, really done an excellent job. He points out in the bottom that according to Mishnah Berurah, it's Asher Nosan. Very good. They've done an excellent, really. Pardon? Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you when it's the most relevant. The most relevant is when it comes to an Esrig. People will sometimes do it. Yeah, when it's a nice smelling Esrig, people will sometimes, yeah. 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 True as well. Yeah. Yeah, so, no, it's probably not that common, Rabbi Kagan, but sometimes, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now, Sifkot Yud Aleph is the point that you're pointing out. So Sifkot Yud Aleph says as follows, Aval Pishu, Enim Vach, Dehav Yelezeh, Kudova Shaloi Naaseh L'Oreach. So there is a halacha which actually explained in Eishet Zayin in greater detail that there is something which is considered shaloi nase l'reach. There's item, there's things, there's occasions, there's circumstances in which the nice smelling fruit is not here for its smelling purpose. And it kavelik dovo shaloi nase l'reach. It's something which is not there for its smell. She'ein mevarchin l'reach, and you don't make a bracha. Af al pi olo shenoyz n'reach, that it gives a good smell. Venani is benefiting, is enjoying it. But you're not making a bracha on it. So there is sometimes something which is smelling very nicely and you are benefiting from it, but it's not there, it's not oimeit l'oreach. It's not here for its smell. So I suppose does that answer your question a bit?
Yeah, it didn't mean it comes to like if you go to a wedding and there's a posh pipe of fruit salad, it smells nice. So you're not really
absolutely
buying them over the food.
Perfect example. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, continue Shulchan Aruch, Hilkach. Therefore, Halkol Davar Shu Mesupak Bo, on any... Sorry, I skipped a few words. Second line, second word. Ve'al Kulam, and on anything, Im Oma Boirim Nepsomim, if you make a Bracha Boirim Nepsomim, Yotza Yoyotza B'Diavet. I think that's what people do when... That's what people do. That Mishnah Berurah explains that Yedeis Boirim Atzeb Somim, Hanois Nereach Toba Peirois, but at the end of the day, if you say... anyway, which is very similar to Shakal. Mamish your words. Sifkot Yud Gemal. Sifkot Yud Beis. Al Kulam on any of them. Bechach Beitz. Oy Beisav. If it should be Atzeb Psalmim. Isveb Psalmim Brocha. Oy Beprish Merach. Any of those Brochas. Sifkot Yud Gemal. Yotze Vedev Yoyotze. Sheloshin Brocha Zu. The word of this bracha, Kolelis HaKoil, includes everything. K'moi B'yekas Shehakoil, similar to the bracha of Shehakoil, Shekolelis, which includes Kol Min HaAchil V'Shti, which includes any food and drinking item. But now, what about if you make Shehakoil? That's a very interesting Mishnah Berurah now. What if by mistake you have this beautiful, nice smelling orange, and for some reason you are making Boirei Minei, instead of saying Boirei Minei Psomim, by mistake, you have this nice, delicious smelling, pardon? Instead of saying, which by the way is fine, we just learned, you say shahakol, and you give it nice, deep smell in it. You say shahakol, by the way, shahakol on a smell, by the way. Yes or no? Says the Mishnah Berurah. V'das eiz achronim, some achronim hold. By the way, by the way, shahakol yotso. By the way, you made the shahakol. Yotso. You're still having some on a shahakol, near still can benefit from it. Therefore, became yoitz b'shahakol b'diav d'ar yoitz b'shahakol. However, that's making giborim shafilu b'diav d'ar yotzo. Making giborim holds you're not yoitz b'diav. Given the isma atbeish to v'chom brachos, because v'chom never had an intention of including smells with brach b'shahakol. For no nitzkan b'yak shahakol kim achilu b'shtiya, and it's never included in the bracha, and therefore you cannot be yotze b'diavad with shakol. How do not Mishnah Berurah paskens on this one? It's a vague hachra over here. Not sure. I have a feeling that Mishnah Berurah says b'diavad yar yotze. That's my feeling because initially it brings rabbim and afterwards yochid. So I have a feeling that b'diavad yar yotze, but I'm not 100% sure. So lemaisa b'diavad. It appears that you shouldn't make a new, but if you make shakel on a smell, but yeah, don't do anything else. Continues the Shulchan Aruch now. Hilkach, therefore, halkol davar shu mesupak. Any, that's by the way, on Haftalah, Rabbi, so what bracha do you make on Haftalah? What? Asvei, atse.
Svadim will make a proper one.
Oh. Ashkenazim will always do mini psalmim. And that is generally, although sometimes you could have something which may potentially be Asvei or Itz or Atzei or Isvei, the meaning is to always do mini psalmim. Because B'diavad, you're always going to be Yotze. So I'm not saying that we're aiming to be, B'diavad Yidden, but it's just a minik that we're always going to do a mini psalmim by Avdolah. It's more on that in Mitzchem at a different time, but we definitely do mean psalmim by Avdolah. I'll continue Zilkach. Therefore, kol davar shu mesupak bo, anything that you're not sure, mevarich boirim in epsomim, make the bracha on boirim in epsomim. Hal egois muskata, which is a nutmeg, apparently. Val kinola, which is cinnamon. Ve, what's the next word? Cloves.
Clove.
Yeah. Clove. You can see clove. V'chol psomim, and any spice Hashem la'achile, which are edible. Mevorech ha'nois n'riach tov b'peiros, you're going to make nois n'riach tov b'peiros, because it's the edibles. Nutmeg is edible. Cinnamon is they're all edibles. Therefore, that's the bocha. Chaboy say, what about coffee? Oh, any coffee drinkers here? Have you ever smelled coffee? You like the smell of coffee? Now, I don't know why nowadays it doesn't exist anymore, but as a child, I don't know, maybe it's things, or maybe that's a Swiss thing, not sure, or maybe it's just outdated, I'm not sure. I remember I used to go to the supermarkets, like the Swiss equivalent of Tesco, which is called Migros, that's what it's called. You at the end, I don't know why, you'd buy the beans, I don't know if that exists here at all. You buy the beans, then you'd put it in. You would buy like a bag of beans or proper beans. You wouldn't buy the Nescafe.
Filter coffee,
yeah. You buy the filter coffee. You buy the beans, and then after at the end was that machine, a proper machine. I don't know exactly how it looks, but it was like a proper machine, and you'd open it up, and then you'd pour it in, and then it'd make that noise, a bit like a long. Yeah, but like, yeah, whatever, like, and then it would be, and then it'd come down powdered, would come out powdered. Does it still exist nowadays? Is that old fashioned, or is it Swiss?
Swiss?
Okay, but I must say that the aroma, the smell emerging from those machines were delicious. It was really delicious. Much stronger, and much better, much deeper. Deeper is not the word, much richer, that's right. Much, much richer than the Nescafe we have now. Much richer. Much richer. And I don't know why. There must be some reason why it was always in the back of the shop. I'm not sure why. There must be some marketing purpose for that. Not sure. But why would this... why would be the reason? Not sure. But No, especially for the... Especially for that. And it was strong, very, very, very nice, very, very, very strong, very delicious smell. Now, the question is, bracha or no bracha? Coffee beans! Bracha or no bracha? Coffee beans.
I guess you'd say that people take coffee in order to drink it, not in order to make it smell.
And if you're about to smell, have you ever opened up and you give it a smell? Maybe make a bracha on it. Should do. Yeah, when you open up a fresh, you know the fresh thing of when you like the smell? Make a bracha on it. No, I'm serious. Mishnevua. What? You tell me? Beans? Well, you could do minepsam if you know. Sure, we just learn.
What about
garlic? 1 second, let's speak to the coffee first. Bracha or no bracha? Coffee. Says the Mishnevua of Cotton Tezayin. Speaks about coffee. I'm Bachoinim. 1 second. Okay, I'm skipping a little bit into the Mishnevua of Cotton Tezayin, who first speaks about the cloths. The Mishnevua, Kosrachon, Rachoni, right. Hamareach be kavei. Tony smells coffee. Ktusha, if it's ground. Vichamo, and it is hot. That its smell is coming out. The odom and a person. Ne meoisereach. Rabbi Yossi like coffee. Smell of coffee. Coffee smell, yeah? And the odom ne meoisereach. And a person enjoys the smell of coffee. Tzorich levorech. You must make a bracha. You must make a bracha. Birkas asher nosan. Says the Mishabur, you're making a brach on it. I have a stickler problem with this. I have a stickler problem with it. Pardon?
It's not a fruit. That's what
I said
on the last fruit.
Ashenosan reach toy bapeiros. Yeah, so that good point. That very good point because it's a bean. So that goes into a discussion which I skipped because Bialoche does have a mahalach about when exactly is something called atzei and when is it minei. So according to Bialoche's mahalach, this would be qualified as a as but the truth is, if you're not comfortable with that, you can make minip somim on it. Because if you have that, it works. I have a bit of a diuk here, and I do not know if you agree or disagree. What's my diuk in the Mishnah Berurah? Any diuk? Why you would not make a bracha? Yeah? Oh, that's not what I thought of. That's not what I thought, but that's good. You see, because you can't say nois liyach to a peiros as long as it's not edible. Yeah, no, it's a good svara. It's a very, very good svara. Oh. Very good. Very, very good. Mamash, very excellent. What do you want to say? Exactly. Yeah. So the Mishnah Berurah is talking about over here, he says chama. He says when it's chama. And I don't know if that is dafka or lav dafka. Does it need to be dafka roasted and hot? Or is it just because that's when it's a strong smell coming out? And or maybe if you have a strong smell without it, then it's fine as well. I do not know. What do you think?
There's no reason why you'd say coffee's worse than anything else that you can smell. And if you can smell a cold estrogen to make a broth, then you can smell cold coffee to make a broth. It's just, I think that when you roast it, that's when you can smell it the most.
So therefore, nowadays, if you let you open up the jug and it has a strong smell coming out, how you can make a broth on that as well?
Hot chocolate.
You've
got a smell of chocolate.
Yeah.
But my point was a garlic. You can eat garlic, but it's also got a strong, very, not particularly nice.
That's the point. It's not particularly nice.
So you wouldn't make
it? No. It has to be a smell that you enjoy. Yeah.
So my question would be, given that they were talking about musk, which is coming from an animal, so is there any reason why you'd have to only make a breath on something which is organic, or could you make a breath on anything that is a nice smell in the same way that you make a breath on
synthetic?
Synthetic smells that's
okay. We will start tomorrow's Shir Beis Hashem with Reb Shlomo Zalman on that. Okay, mamash on that question. Okay, mamash that question. I want to speak about it. We've run out of time. We'll speak about it tomorrow. Very good. We'll be discussed tomorrow, Mitzvah. Absolutely correct. Okay, just to recap what we learned tonight. We spoke about the halacha. First of all, we spoke about this interesting halacha, which seems to be cholek chazanish in terms of nuri shoinim. We spoke about that, and then we spoke about the general halacha that anoisen reach toiba peiros. We spoke that it depends if fruit is here to be eaten, then you will not make a bracha. If it's here to be smelled, you will make a bracha. If you are b'di'avad, you're always yotze b'rim nepsomim, and the Mishnah Berurah then even spoke about coffee as well. We spoke about the fact that if you do b'di'avad, sh'akol akonu to many achronim, you're yotze, akonu to mokin, kiborim, you're not yotze. Good evening, Rabbi Yisrael.